I'm Corey Grant, former Auburn football and NFL running back, and you are listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Welcome back into the program. You're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9 FM and on the Tiger Communications app. JJ Jackson inside the studio with my good buddies Tom Peavy, Brant Daughtry, and Cam Berry. Good phone calls. Very good topics and discussions. Our buddy Eric McDade, State Farm, will be here in just a little bit as we'll be covering the bases with him. We've got best and worst of the weekend, and we've got more as Eric's walking into the building right now. So tons to discuss here on this Monday. 334-887-3401 or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9 if you would like to call in and be a part of the show. As a busy weekend in sports, and here he is now, Eric McDade, kind enough to join us. What's going on, boss man?
Not much, man. How y'all doing?
Look at this guy. I mean, he's on time.
Yeah.
He's telling me that he's really worried he's not going to be able to make it, and then I get worried, and here you are strolling right in when you need to be.
I rushed over here, man.
Look at you.
Safe driving,
and here we are. How you doing?
I'm good, man.
How's the State Farm world going these days?
It's going great, man. I'm blessed.
Yeah.
I'm blessed,
man. Getting into the summertime and things going well.
Yep. Good time. Good time for us.
Look, you were in the know. You keep up with everything. We talked a lot over the past couple of days about this Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban drama that's taking place. Travis Hunter is going to Jackson State. Deion Sanders has some words about it. I mean, where is your headspace right now, Eric? So we want to hear it because you've grown up in this state.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Nick Saban just showed me why I used to really – hate Nick Saban. I'm just being honest, man. Like, over the last few years, I gained a lot of respect for him. I like the way he does things. You got to respect winning, right? But I just felt like it was just out of bounds, man, to just go, you know, calling people out. It was not necessary. I think somebody else said this is like the guy who always gets the pretty girl and then everybody else starts getting the girls and now you're complaining. You know, it was unnecessary. But it was really entertaining, man, to see, you know, Jimbo Fisher clap back. That was pretty cool.
He wasn't afraid.
No, he was pretty hot about it, man. So it's gonna be really interesting when they touch the field this fall. The Travis Hunter thing, man. I really thought that was that didn't need to be said. I mean, Jackson State to Alabama, like, what are we doing? You know, Nick Saban, you should be above that, as you know, you're supposed to be the guy. So that was just kind of a cheap shot, in my opinion, to go calling people out. And let's be honest, man. Before all this NIL, I mean, who was probably truly spending the most money on players?
Alabama,
probably. Right? Like, I mean,
hands down.
I'll just tell you, I've been around for a long time. I know a lot of people, a lot of athletes. You know, Alabama's been doing some things for a long time. You know, before it was legal. So, I mean, now it's legal and everybody else can do it. And I guess that's where Nick Saban's got a problem.
Well, I mean, you had on Twitter, you had former players that did not sign with Alabama coming out on Twitter, and they were waving their hands and saying, "Hey, wait a minute now, y'all offered me six figures to go to Alabama," and then I think it was Antonio Cromartie was on Twitter, and he goes, "Dude, he's like, y'all offered me six figures to come to a camp."
Let's talk about it, man.
I mean, these guys are coming. These dudes suddenly come out of the woodworks, and they're like, whoa, Saban, now.
Yeah.
I remember when I was getting recruited to Bama, what y'all offered me, so let's be careful. Let's be careful on the rocks that you're throwing in this glass house right now, because you recruited me, and I still remember.
Yeah, he opened a can of worms. I don't think he meant to, because, you know, Alabama, y'all hadn't, I mean, I don't think they ran the most clean program. Yeah. So, I mean. You know, I just think he's upset because everybody else can kind of do, you know, what he's been doing for a long time. And listen, Alabama's still going to get players. I mean, is it kind of crazy to look at this recruiting rankings and see Texas A&M got 7 5 stars? I mean, yeah. I mean, it's kind of out of the ordinary. But, you know, if they did it within the rules, which, I mean, what are the rules for NIL at this point, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, they didn't do anything. They didn't break the law. So it is what it is, you know. But it was really, really entertaining to see, for sure.
It's given us something to talk about in May, which we're grateful for. And we mentioned the build-up, the intrigue going into that Texas A&M and Alabama game in October. Like, this is 5 months away.
You know, but SEC Media Days.
It's going to be right around the corner, and they're not on the same day. Alabama and Texas A&M are not going to be there on the same day. So we'll miss opportunities for that. But, you know, quotes are always – Crazy last time that we were at SEC Media Days this past year in 2021. We're there as the news breaks that Texas and Oklahoma are going to be joining the SEC. So you always get one major story to come out of the event. And here we are. We're getting some big stories 2 months ahead of time.
Yeah, this is awesome. I love it.
This is what we're looking forward to.
We were literally sitting at SEC Media Days last year waiting on Greg Sankey to come to us when word broke about Texas and Oklahoma jumping in. And so we were the first to – it was like, I mean, chaos.
Insane.
Just awesome. Absolute chaos when that went on last year.
And we'll see what happens this year.
What will happen this year? We'll be in Atlanta.
Yes, we will.
There's some fireworks.
There is going to be a – some fireworks for sure, I think. It's just crazy that we've gotten to this point between those. I didn't see the coaches kind of going back and forth at each other. That was not on my bingo card for something that I thought I would see in the college football offseason.
Jimbo Fisher was kind of upset about it, you know, on signing day. He had his whole thing. And I thought he'd be upset with what Nick said, but he took it to another level, man.
Yeah. He really snapped.
Yeah. He is not going to be returning the phone call to Nick Saban, he said.
We're done.
was Jimbo Fisher. Eric McDade's here. We're covering the bases. A lot going on in the sports world. Busy weekend as softball regionals were going. We've got super regionals coming up. The baseball tournament at the SEC gets set to start next week, weather permitting, of course, because the state's going to see a whole lot of rain this week. Saw a lot of rain last night in the area. Probably going to see some more over the next few days, so we'll see how that baseball schedule is altered and that sort of thing. And then we're also seeing the basketball playoffs continue to move on. What are your thoughts there? Because I know you always have them.
Yeah. Steph Curry's back, man. I don't know if he ever left.
No, I say he never left, for real.
It's been an interesting playoffs, man. You know, the Warriors kind of took that series over last night, so. Looking forward to seeing
that one's
back
done.
In the finals.
That one's done.
Yeah, it's done. All but done, for sure.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing them back in the finals, though, man. It's kind of, you know, after Klay getting hurt and Steph getting hurt and losing Kevin Durant, you know, everybody was wondering what was going to become of the Warriors, man. But Steph Curry, he's incredible.
He continued to do his thing. I mean, the two seasons prior, he did have some injuries, and you missed the playoffs those seasons. But now that they've been back and healthy this season, it's taken off.
And those two seasons really allowed them to kind of almost retool and rebuild in the best way possible, getting Andrew Wiggins and then drafting Jordan Poole, Kuminga as well, who, you know, kind of in and out gets minutes, but serious contributor. Gary Payton, before he got hurt, serious contributor on defense. I mean, they got a whole bunch of dudes that can now just, I mean, play. And just now it's just almost seamlessly, they just mesh now very well, like a very well-built team now.
They're not deep when you compare them to Boston and Miami, whoever's going to come out of the East. And that's something that they're very well aware of right now. I mean, they had Damian Lee playing a good bit. Now they've put the rookie Moses Moody out there, and he has not played well the last little bit.
Yeah.
But their first five and Poole coming off the bench is really good. And so their question is, can our six be good enough to beat you? And when you've got Curry, Draymond, and Klay at the top, you're probably pretty good.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I mean, you can't really depend on rookies at this point in the season to really contribute much. But, yeah, I mean, I think they still have a great chance to take it all. It's just crazy to think that, you know, they kind of been able to do that thing of rebuilding and contend for a championship at the same time. So it's kind of scary if you look at the future for them, too. You know, you got Kuminga, you got Moody, and Pool and James Wiseman. We haven't even talked about him.
Right.
He was a number two pick a couple years ago, and you know he's been hurt all year. So you got all these guys coming back, or you know, would they trade one of them in the offseason to just keep getting better? You know, they could be, you know, they could be scared for a few.
They got to improve the bench. They've got these young, and or those guys have to take a step forward, right? And you were probably saying that about Jordan Poole a few seasons ago, and he's definitely stepped up. He is as confident as they come on the stage, which has been good to see. But Otto Porter Jr. gets hurt last night. Mm-hmm. You're already without Iguodala. We know that, you know, Steph Curry has had some ankle issues in the past. Klay Thompson is coming off an ACL and an Achilles. I mean, this is really tough what they're going through. But to be up 3-0 against this Dallas team that was, you know, not supposed to be in this spot, people thought we would see a Suns and Warriors Western Conference Finals. Here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah, I mean, that Mavericks team, you know, pretty much all they rely on is Luka. And if it's, you know, if they don't have anybody else getting minutes, I mean, just looking at this, they had 40 from Luka, 20 from Brunson, 26 from Dinwiddie, and nobody else in the double digits. Yeah, so,
not gonna cut it.
Yeah, that's just not going to work. I mean,
Luka got straight put on.
Oh, he did. He got put on a poster. Yeah.
Elbow in the throat and all.
And it doesn't help that he's getting hunted on defense either. Right. So, you know, him being almost a slight defensive liability, especially with how tall and big he is, he moves, you know, at a decent pace. Him getting hunted on defense, it doesn't help at all, allowing as many points as they did. The Suns definitely were really hard on him, hunting him on defense. Mm-hmm. So he kind of had to step up a little bit more. The constant movement that the Warriors' offense is, and everybody always moving, I think tires him out a little bit as well. So, yeah, I mean, him getting dunked on, he just got caught in an extremely vulnerable position.
Not where he needed to be.
Yeah.
Not where he needed to be.
Especially with Andrew Wiggins, who can bounce.
But, I mean, even the Luka defense stuff is irrelevant because he's bringing so much on the offensive end of the floor that you can't even almost fault him for a lack of effort maybe on the defensive side because no one else is stepping up. I mean, he's getting open looks for Reggie Bullock, who went 0 for 7 from 3 last night, 0 for 10 from the floor.
Right.
Maxi Kleber went 0 for 5 from 3-point range. Davis Bertans did not give you a whole lot. I mean, the guy needs help. Somebody's got to help him.
Yeah, somebody got to step up for him. I mean, I think it's a good learning experience for them. I mean, Luka's 23 years old. He's only going to get better at this point, and it's good for them to get this experience now. Go into the offseason and kind of figure out, you know, what they need to do to get on Golden State's level. So,
right,
it'll be interesting to see how they retool their team in the offseason and whatever happens in the finals with the Warriors. I mean, obviously they're gonna see the best team they've seen this playoffs with, whether it's the Celtics or the Heat. So that should.
So who is that team? Game four tonight: Boston Celtics, Miami Heat. Tyler Hero is out for the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler is a game time decision. So Miami, despite being up 2-1, very hurt right now.
Yeah, I thought this was a 7-game series coming into it. So
still looks like it could be. Up,
you know, I think I still kind of lean towards the Celtics.
Yeah.
I think they'll win tonight, even it up. But I mean, I think this one could go either way. I think the Celtics would be the worst matchup for the Warriors. Asking my opinion. Yep. I mean, you got a guy like, I mean, Tatum and Brown and their defense. I mean, Heat are good on defense too, but the Celtics, when they really lock clicking, in, they are scary on both ends of the court. So I like the Celtics to win the series, but obviously they it's a must win for them tonight.
I saw somewhere that the Heat in 3 games have only won 2 quarters. So you've got 4 quarters
probably
per game. So 12 quarters.
Yeah.
And the Heat have won 2 of the 12. And yet they have a 2-1 lead in the series.
Yeah, I mean, in the third quarter, I think I was talking about this with Ryan the other day. In the third quarter, the Heat, on average, through the entire playoffs, are plus 25 in the third quarter. And so that's where they do most of their damage. You know, they kind of assess the situation at halftime. Yeah, that's coaching. That's on Spoelstra. I mean, just absolutely great coaching from Eric Spoelstra. He goes and he does the halftime adjustments. He looks at everything. And then the Heat come out, and they kind of kill you.
You just don't think that's sustainable, though. You know, like I don't see where, okay, losing 3 out of the 4 quarters every game is sustainable.
Probably
it's
not.
Just not.
Yeah.
Because like you're saying, we saw when Horford and Marcus Smart come back for Boston, game 2 wasn't even close.
No.
They got to have more. They got to play better out of the gates.
Yeah, I mean, Tatum turning the ball over and Brown turning the ball over last game really is what beat the Celtics. Tatum, he just had an uncharacteristic game. I think
10 points.
I mean, that's probably not going to happen again.
No.
I don't expect that to happen tonight. You know, that's 40, what the great 40 players
piece
will
tonight.
Do. Yeah, the great players will, you know, they come back and give you their best. So I think they'll be on a mission. They know they have to win. And the Hero being out really, really hurts Miami's offense. You know, they already struggle to score a lot of times. So,
and your bench scoring is going to lose a lot.
Sixth man of the year. So.
Yeah.
I like the Celtics. I still like the Celtics to win this series, and that's what I want to see in the finals, at least Celtics-Warriors. So
that would be crazy.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
That would be crazy. I thought for a second that we might see Mavs and Heat and see a rematch of 06 and 11 finals. But now it looks like neither of those teams could be. Why am I saying that? The Heat are up two games to one. They figured out that series is just so hard to figure out. What we do know for sure, the Golden State Warriors are going to be in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
We are never going to see a team come back from a 3-0 deficit. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
No, I just don't think the Mavericks have it.
It
won't be this team, at least.
No. But you don't see that in sports, right? Like, when you think of 3-0, the only one you think of is the 2004 ALCS when the Boston Red Sox made the miracle comeback against the Yankees and went on to win the World Series.
Yeah,
there's no other proof of that happening.
Yeah, it's never happened in basketball. No. I mean, it would take something strange happening. Somebody getting hurt or something. Like, if Steph got hurt, maybe.
Would have to put everybody in the backpack.
Right.
everybody in the backpack.
Yeah.
What is it like to be a Dallas Maverick player today? Knowing that you're down 3-0. You know what I'm saying? Mentally, how do you even.
Oh, man. Them boys booking flights to Cancun, man. It's time.
You got to do something, though.
Try not to get swept, right?
Like, you got to do something. Like, is that what it is at this point? You're just playing for pride?
At this point in my head, I'd be all right, well, steal one, get this last one, get game four at home, be down 3-1.
And then you're thinking, maybe we can do it if we go to game. But, also, is it not just inevitable? This just sucks.
I mean, human nature tells you that half of those guys are just checked out at this point, man. They're thinking about vacation,
But you made it to the Western Conference Finals. Yeah.
Should there be a 3-0 skunk in the playoffs? Just be like, all right, we're done here. We don't need to play.
Don't even waste it.
Because, look, the Mavs had their shots in the first couple of games of the series and didn't take advantage.
I think they were up 20 in game
two.
Yeah. I mean, blowing that.
That was their shot. Yep.
Had some looks yesterday. And like I said, it's a back-and-forth game. They're only down by 2 at halftime. And in the fourth quarter, the lead got cut down to 6. But you're not making shots. So that's what you get.
Yeah, that's what the playoffs is about, man. It's going to be usually some really tight games, man.
Bold take from us that the playoffs comes down to shot making.
Yeah, oh, man.
So really bold take from us.
They say it's a make or miss league. So
it's a make or miss league.
What else you been paying attention to in the sports world?
Oh, man, that's really it. I watch a lot of basketball. It's not really much.
The Lakers need a head coach. That's a big story in sports.
Yeah, for sure. Who knows what the Lakers are going to do? It's a garbage fire right now.
Yeah, right.
They got to fake. I mean, you need a coach, though.
Yeah, it'd be. I mean, I think they'll probably hire Darvin Ham from the Bucks.
Yeah.
It's probably the best option that they have out there. I don't think they should go for
Terry Stotts.
I don't think they should go for one of these retread.
No,
guys
new face.
Who,
I agree.
New face. Get somebody that, I think.
Has never been a head coach before.
LeBron, I think he wants to play for a former player too, so I think Darvin has some respect around the league in that way. I mean, he's won as an assistant coach. I think he'd be a good hire for them if they want to, get back to.
What about the Doc Rivers headlines?
No, I'm out on Doc Rivers, man. Don't bring Doc Rivers anywhere near LeBron James, man. Rivers. I'm not a.
Should
not
he a keep Doc his job You're not in a Philly?
Doc believer?
In Philly?
Yeah.
They said that he was going to, at least for this season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
But now there's more speculation that as soon as the Lakers make a hire, that Doc is going to be relieved of his duties.
Interesting.
That Daryl Morey is so petty, he doesn't want Doc to go to the Lakers.
The Philly thing is really hinges on Harden, what they do with Harden, and if Harden is 80% or 90% of what he used to be. That's what it's going to come down to for Philly if they can kind of figure that situation out. I don't know if they should give him max money in the offseason.
No.
That's going to be
– Too old.
Yeah, he's
– Can't move the same. He had that one 30-point game, and that was it.
Yeah, his first step in there anymore, so he's not going to be an MVP-caliber player. But, maybe he can still be, a decent second option. But, they got a tough decision to make in the offseason. You gave up, a lot to get him. So, you
better
you
figure it out.
You almost have to double down on it,
Got
to
figure it out.
Resign
him. I mean, if they fire Doc, I guess they would then – my thought would be then that
they don't need to fire Doc.
No, I don't think they should. If they were to fire Doc, which I don't think they will, then I think they would hire Mike D'Antoni, right? And then – okay, right. And so then you're having a system that's probably going to be based around Harden again. Mm-hmm. And – then I would feel like that would probably upset Joel, because he is, in my opinion, the best player on that roster, right? Should have won MVP this last season. And the only issue with him was his health. And, I mean, the one time he has been healthy, MVP, right? One of the best players in the league.
Can you win with a big in 2022?
I think you can win with a big. Because you haven't been able to
prove it happened. Yeah. You haven't been able to prove that happened.
Yeah, it's been a while.
That's what's crazy, because you can't. You can't deny the talent. You can't deny the talent. He's putting up numbers. He's great in stats. He's contending for MVPs. But is he winning championships?
Yeah, I mean,
and he's not.
Shaq was the last
big dominant big to win a championship.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And that, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, we're gonna build our franchise around a beat. Great. What's that get you?
Right. I mean,
okay, it's a league. We had a big Eastern Conference Finals.
It's a league where you definitely need a 1-2 combo, right? Yeah. I mean, you probably need. I guess you could do two dynamic guards, but I mean, I would want to have a really good big and a really good guard to go along with it, and I mean that could work, right?
I think it's such a perimeter based league, man. If I were looking at my two best players,
Joel can stretch the floor though.
I like a wing and a wing and a point guard or two wings. You know, I just think that's the way the league is going. You know, because you get late in the games.
That's where I'm at.
I mean,
you don't want Joel out there shooting threes late in the game. You want him in the post, but that just kind of can clog things up when other teams, like you're playing against the Warriors, you don't want to be trading threes for twos.
Yeah, I agree, because I want the Hawks to go get Donovan Mitchell. So.
And it's not rocket science. The bigger you are, the more prone you are to injuries.
Yeah.
Like, that just happens.
I'm looking at you, Anthony Davis.
You know, thank you. Joel Embiid has had injury concerns in his past. Anthony Davis, Carl Anthony Towns. Like, the bigger you are, the more prone to injuries you have been.
But they won a championship.
Who's that? The Lakers did? With LeBron James.
Okay, yeah, and so I guess that's like...
He's always the outlier. He is always the outlier.
That's fair. Because he is LeBron.
He's LeBron, I mean...
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The GOAT.
You know, it's one of those things where he's had playoff games, but we do like him. He is, you know, he had the right... So Steph gets 47 30-point games. Did you see that last night?
That was his 47th,
30th point game. His 47th, 30th point playoff game in his career.
Mm-hmm. Trailing LeBron and MJ, right?
So, and he just broke a tie with Dirk, who was there, which was really cool. Oh, wow. And now he's two ahead of Harden. Harden has 45 30-point playoff games. How many active players are ahead of Steph now in 30-point playoff games?
I would say LeBron for sure. That's easy. Durant?
Durant is. Okay. Yeah. How many do you think Durant has? If Steph has 47.
It's got to be right there around it. Maybe 50.
I think Durant's, probably like 55, maybe 60.
KD has 71 30-point playoff games.
And LeBron's got like over 100.
LeBron is most all-time with 118 30-point playoff games.
Sounds about right.
MJ has 109, and Kobe has like 98.
Yeah.
LeBron, MJ, Kobe, 1, 2, 3. Steph got his 47th, and the Warriors have played in a ton of playoff games. LeBron still has played in way more playoff games, but still, 118 30-point playoff games.
Well, you know he's going to be back next year. So
KD's at 71, and then Steph's at 47, and Harden's at 45.
Yeah, LeBron's
playoff. LeBron's stats record, are just silly. If you look at his stats too long, you start to get hurt. I mean, it's like a brain freeze almost.
Yeah, if you look at the records, man, at some point, I mean, it's 9 times out of 10 when they show these, it's the first guy to do this since. It's either going to be LeBron, Michael Jordan, or Will Chamberlain. Like, it's just like one of those
guys. 118 30-point playoff games.
That's crazy.
You like that guy, Eric?
And counting.
He's pretty good. He's pretty decent.
And counting, Got to get back to the playoffs next year to keep that going. All right, man, this is awesome. It's always fun to catch up with you, know what's going on in your world.
Yes, sir.
What's going on at State Farm right now?
Man, we're coming up on State Farm's 100th anniversary, so that's a pretty
big
deal.
No way! Yeah. Wow, so that's awesome.
Company started in 1922, in June 6th. So we're about to celebrate the
100th. To have a big birthday. Here
100th birthday.
Brant, his birthday's tomorrow, right? Oh, okay. It's his golden birthday, turning 24 on the 24th.
Oh, man.
I'll let him know that's not as big of a deal as State Farm turning 100.
Big of a deal.
That's crazy. That's
State
awesome.
Farm turning 100.
So what do you guys have for that?
We're planning a lot of celebrations. Plan to do something with my office. We'll probably announce that next week or so.
Okay.
Just to do some fun stuff in the community. And, we'll have a big celebration with all our agents. And so, yeah, just be on the lookout for, you know, we'll run commercials. Y'all see State Farm commercials everywhere, playoffs, right? So we'll have some interesting things coming across.
And we hear your commercial all the time on the stations.
I know. Everybody tells me they've been hearing my commercial, so I'm happy. Yeah. It sounds good.
DriveWithEric.com. That's what we do, man. That's what we do here. Where's the office?
907 Second Avenue, Suite A, Opelika,
Alabama. In Opelika. Pull up and say what's up to Eric. He's going to take good care of you. We've been covering the bases. Cam, that was your first time hanging out with Eric. Was that okay?
Yes, sir. It was great.
That was awesome. That was awesome. We got some playoffs to watch, and I'm sure we'll be talking about the NBA Finals next time that we get you here in studio.
Yes, sir.
So
yes, sir.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Eric, thank you for being here, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
That's going to bring the second hour of our show to a close. Thank you so much for listening to Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show alongside Brant Daughtry, Cam Berry, Tom Peavy, and Eric McDade. My name is JJ Jackson. 2 hours in the books, and we're rolling.
Hours of sports call are finished. Don't touch that radio dial. We've got one more hour to go.